Okay, praise the Lord. We're looking at a topic I titled Fervent in Service. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Fervent in Service. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 28. Just it's a very short one. Hallelujah, very short one. Matthew 28 verses 18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Hallelujah. So Jesus said to them, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples." You know, the old King James would say, "Go and teach." That word "teach," make disciples, as we've known, is the word matitio. It implies to school people, to make students. Hallelujah. To make students, to school people. It's from the word matitis. The noun is the word matitis. It implies a pupil, one who is trained to become a scholar. That is the word matitis. One who is trained to become a scholar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the word matitis also. Okay, it also implies one who is learning. Who is learning? One who is learning. And the one who is learning, you know, when the word matitis, for, you know, remember we said the word matitio or matitis is not a coined, Christ word. Hallelujah. It's not a coined word by Jesus. It's a word that is used for someone who is being schooled. And you know, it's the word matitis is from a root word, math. Like where we have the word mathematics, math, to use to work with one's reasoning. Do you understand me? When one's reasoning is brought to use. Originally, if a Jewish scholar or one who is a disciple to a Jewish rabbi, rabboni, he is handed over the Torah. You understand me? So a disciple is one from the Jewish setting, is one who understands or who can say the Torah, who can recite the Torah by heart. Do you understand me? So it involves much more of a mental work. Do you understand me? Much more of a mental work. Now, Jesus now uses that same word for how believers should be raised. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? He uses the same word on how believers should be raised. He doesn't say, "Go make disciples." Do you understand? Go make disciples. Go make disciples. And in verse 20, he now tells us how it will be done. He says, teaching them. Do you understand? So the way disciples will be raised for Christ is their teaching. That is what didasco. Didasco. It's also a verb. It's a verb. It's an active word that implies to teach, to instruct. You understand? To teach, to instruct. It's an active word. Hallelujah. An active word. During our discipleship seminar, we said a disciple learns by what? By precept and by example. So it's an active word to teach. Hallelujah. Now, the word to teach, we say didasco. We have another word related to the word didasco, is the word didache. Didache is a word that implies how what is being taught is taught. What is being taught? How is it taught? How is it taught? The mode of the teaching. How is it taught? Matthew chapter 7, quickly. Look at Matthew 7, Jesus' explanation from chapter 5. concerning, Jesus is explaining Moses. Hallelujah. In his explanation of Moses in chapter 7, verse 28, he says, and so it was when he had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. That's the word didache. They were astonished at his mode of explaining. How did he explain? He explained Moses in the light of himself. Hallelujah. He explained what Moses gave to the children of Israel in the light of himself. Hallelujah. I will find that in Luke 24, verse 25. He tells, comes to them and tells those two brethren on their way to Emmaus. He calls them and tells them, O fools, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. He said, ought not the Christ to suffer this thing and to enter into his glory? He said, I'm beginning at what? Moses. And all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So that means Jesus' explanation of the scripture will be concerning himself. That will be his mode of explanation. Do you understand? That will be his mode of explanation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That will be his mode of explanation concerning himself. And in we'll find the apostles in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, Peter explaining what has just happened to them. What has just happened to them in Solomon's porch, explaining it, he preached Christ. Meaning from the scripture, he went from David, he explained Christ. Jerusalem, he explained Christ. Glory to God. Chapter 3, the same thing too. Christ explained from the scriptures. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the mode of teaching will be what? Christ. Will be centered on Christ's work. Will be centered on Christ's work. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 quickly. Hebrews 13. He says, verses 9. He said, do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines. Various and strange explanations. So meaning, not to explain in the light of Christ's work is what's called strange. You understand me? It's called what? Strange. Hallelujah. He called it various and strange doctrine, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with food which does not profit those who have been occupied with them. Hallelujah. So any explanation that is outside Christ's work, that is outside Christ, is called strange. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Strange. Strange mode of explanation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we say the teaching, what the disciples will be taught, will be what? Christ-centered. Will be Christ-centered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wrote something. I said the teacher is called the daskalos, and the student or the one learning is called the disciple. So a disciple is the one who learns, and the learning is about Christ. Hallelujah. I will drop something from a discipleship seminar that we had, and I will say discipleship implies submitting to instructions, training. Discipleship implies submitting to instructions, training. So a disciple is one who has submitted himself to be trained. And you know the training is by instructions. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, a disciple lives by instruction. Lives by instruction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul will write to Timothy and tell Timothy, he says, and the things which you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That is to say, a good teacher is one who is a good student, who keeps to instruction. Understand? A good student or a good teacher is a good student. A good teacher is a good student. So a minister of the gospel must follow the instruction. A good disciple of Christ must follow instructions. For the believer, instructions is how we live. Do you understand me? Instruction is our life. This is how we live. We live based on instructions. Instructions from the word. Hallelujah. So a good minister of the gospel must follow instructions and live by example. Do you understand? You live by example. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in the scriptures, a good disciple of Christ must understand and will have instructions. Even instructions on how we should serve. You understand me? One of the instructions on how we should serve. And that's the reason why we teach. Do you understand me? That's the reason why we teach. You know, Paul will say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he said, all scripture are given by the inspiration of God and are profitable for what? Doctrines. Teaching. Profitable for teaching. To the end that what? We are growing, right? Hallelujah. That God will call pioneer instruction in righteousness. And the man of God will be what? Completely furnished. Will be furnished, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So therefore, the teaching is for us to walk, or for us to grow, to walk in the light of what we've been taught. You know, something very important. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, he will say, we'll be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So therefore, the reality of proper explanation of the scripture would show in a believer's walk. Do you understand me? Or let me put it like this. Spiritual growth, which is from teaching, proper explanation of the scripture, will be seen in our service. Will be seen in our believer's walk. Will be seen in our service to the Lord. We see it to show. So we have instructions on how we should serve. And that is what we're going to look at today. Romans chapter 11, chapter 12, verse 11. Romans 12. I'll start from verse 10. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one to another. He said, not lagging, not slothful in diligence. Not lagging in diligence. He said, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. He said, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patience, tribulation, continue steadfastly in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Our service to the Lord must be with fervency in the spirit. Our service to the Lord must be with fervency in the spirit. Let's look at that word fervent. Fervent. Told us it's a short one. The word fervent is the word zeo. Z-E-O. Z-E-O. Zeal is a word which is used for Apollos in Act of Apostles chapter 18. Act 18 verse 25. It says, and the man, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, Apollos, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand?
So for him to be fervent in spirit,
when for him to be fervent in spirit, it tells us that he's,
we'll look at that shortly. Let's look at the word fervent. I mean, zeal.
That's what we're looking at, right? It's the word that it implies to be hot. Like a boiling of, like the boiling of water. To be hot, like the boiling of water. To be on constant fire. To be hot. Like the boiling of water. It implies to boil. To boil. Hallelujah. For from the word zeal, we have the word zealous. Zealous. Another word used for word fervency. Zealous. Look at John chapter 2. John 2. It's used for Jesus. Look at John 2, verse 14. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen.
Okay.
And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cord, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold those, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." The zeal for your house has eaten me up. That is the word zeal. Zelo. You get the zealous. Zeal. It's a word that is used for deep jealousy. A word used for deep jealousy. Passionate affection for something or someone. A passionate affection for something or someone. So when he said the zeal for your house has eaten me up, that word means, it implies a passionate affection. Hallelujah. Passionate affection. Well, look at something. He's quoting from the writer, which is John, was quoting from Psalm 69 verse 9. Look at Psalm 69 quickly. Psalm 69 verse 9. It says, because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproach of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Say, the zeal for your house has eaten me up. That word zeal in Hebrew is called, is the word kinah, Q-I-N-A-H, kinah. It's used for a deep passion. It is a deep passion. That word eating me up in the Greek, in the Hebrew, is called akar. It implies to consume or to control you. So when it says the zeal for your house has eaten me up, it means the passion for your house, the deep passion for your house has controlled or has consumed me. Do you understand me? That's consumed me. Did you get that? So the evidence of zeal or zealous of the spirit is in the fact that it will consume or control you. You understand that? It will consume or control you. The evidence of zeal or zealous. Now, I use something of the spirit. We're going to look at why I said that. Is in the fact that it will consume or control you. It will control you. You know, when you hear the word zeal or zealous, there's an undertone. You know, when Paul used it as
fervent in spirit. There's an undertone. That word fervent in spirit. The undertone there is fire.
Do you know what I mean? The fire of God's spirit for service. The fire of God's spirit for service. You cannot be in the service
of the Lord
and there is no fire or there's no passion.
You can't. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor Sheryl said something last year at WCC. He says, see a man
who is not passionate in the service of the Lord. He says, see a man who has left the Lord.
So then in your service,
there will be the fire. There must be a passion. Do you understand me? Not to be passionate or not to have this fervency is not to be in service. Because that word zeal or zealous is always seen in a man's action. If it will be seen in a man's action, it will be seen in your action.
There's no quietness in service. No. Did you get that?
You cannot serve God in quietness. It's not possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The word zealous, which is jealousy or deep passion, is used positively in the scriptures and negatively. Negatively is used for envy. That is the word, used for envy, used for strife, used for jealousy. You find it in Acts chapter 5 verse 17. Negatively. Acts 13 verse 45. When they were jealous of what Paul, hallelujah, negatively. Romans chapter 13 verse 13 is used as envy negatively too. Romans 10:2. Talking about Israel, they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Okay, let's leave that. That could be placed anywhere. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. Strife amongst you, envy. 2 Corinthians 7, 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 2. No, sorry, that's 2 Corinthians 9:2 is positively, sorry. Positively. Yes, positively. Second Corinthians 7:7 is positively too. Second Corinthians 11:2 positively. Second Corinthians 12:20 negatively, 5:20 negatively. Galatians 5:20, sorry, negatively. Philippians chapter 3 verse 6 negatively, speaking about himself. Hebrews 10:27. Hebrews 10 verse 27. James 3 verse 14 and 16. Colossians 4 verse 13 positively. So when, listen, when it is used negatively, it is used as a walk in the flesh. Or when it is used negatively, it is a walk in the flesh. And it will be seen in actions. Did you get that? It will be seen in actions. So in our service to God, in our walk in the Spirit, it must be with zeal. You cannot serve. You see, they can't be zeal without activity. It will be seen. No, they cannot be zeal without activity. You cannot have zeal without activity. Like I said earlier, you cannot serve God in quietness. Meaning zeal is not in quietness. No? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So zeal cannot be in quietness. It cannot. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 2. After the Acts of Apostles chapter 2 experience, you know, before Acts of Apostles chapter 2, we saw that they were afraid, right? They were in fear. But after that Acts of Apostles chapter 2 experience, they were overwhelmed with the zeal of God. Did you see that? After that experience, after that believers meeting they had, they were overwhelmed with the Spirit of God. And it affected their personal life. Peter's ministration caught fire. This same Peter that couldn't talk, that a little damsel made him fly. The Bible says he cursed the lady, right? Little damsel, he cursed the lady. This same Peter that went into hiding. Now, the zeal of God has overwhelmed him. Glory to God. When they gather, they say, men and brethren. Men and brethren. This same Peter was now bold to speak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 4 verse 31. Acts of Apostles chapter 4 verse 31. They threatened them. Hallelujah. They were threatened. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when you hear the word, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, what does it mean? Utterance, right? 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 When you hear they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it's utterance, hallelujah. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. 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 That word boldness is the word parousia. Is a proof of God's fire in the believer. Boldness is a proof of God's fire in the believer. Boldness. You're just on the edge. Do you understand? You're on the edge. You're on the edge. It's a proof of God's fire. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deep passion. Being passionate in the things of God has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with age. Yeah, you know, we have passed that age. No! It has nothing to do with age. It is our character. Do you understand? It is our character. Titus 2 verse 14. Titus 2 14. Look at verse 14. He says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Did you see that? So, meaning, that word zealous is the word zelotes. Zelotes. Paul uses that same word in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, 12. He said, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual things, let it be for edification of the church that you seek to excel. You are zealotes. Hallelujah. Is the character trait of a born-again man. Or a character trait of a born-again man is the passion, the zeal in him. It is our character. It is the trait that we have. We are zealous. Hallelujah. 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 The church at Corinth, Paul said they were zealous for spiritual things. Do you get that? They were zealous for spiritual things. Look at chapter, that's chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12, verses 31. It says, but earnestly desire the best gift. That word, earnestly, the word aggressively. The word desire is, that same word, you. Earnestly desire. Become passionate. Did you get that? Become passionate. That is the same word. Paul is saying is be on fire. You understand me? Be on fire for spiritual things. Be on fire. Don't be a swearman. Be on fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're on fire. Constant fire for spiritual things. It is the character of the man in Christ. You understand? Glory to God. It's the character of the man in Christ. We are born zealous in Christ. Do you understand? We are born zealous in Christ. Zeal is a proof of our walking in Christ. Do you understand? We are born zealous. A man who this zeal is not reflecting in his service is not walking in the light of who he is. He is a man who is acting beside himself. Who is constantly on fire, on the edge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Passionate. Say, I'm passionate for the gospel. It is the fire of God. It consumes you. Hallelujah. It consumes you. You are consumed with the fire of God. Hallelujah. That word consume, remember what we say, is the word control. It controls you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I said the zeal is a proof of walking in Christ. Your zeal in service, listen to this, your zeal in service to God must be contagious. We're going to see that now. It must be contagious. You know, a pastor once asked, how willing are you to give a word of prophecy? Are you No. When you are on the edge, glory to God. When you're on the edge, how easy is it for you? We'll get there. How easy is it for you to forgive another? See, I don't just know how to do it. Hallelujah. The zeal of God. Hallelujah. The zeal of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So your zeal in the service of God must be contagious. If your zeal doesn't affect anyone, then check yourself. Remember I said it will be seen. Hallelujah. If your zeal doesn't affect anyone, then check yourself. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 26. Situation does not determine your zeal. No. Hallelujah. Situations does not determine your zeal. Look at from verse 1. We will not be able to read it, but look at Paul was brought to what? Agrippa on chains. Listen, was brought to Agrippa on chains. Now let's read. Glory. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hands and answered for himself. Look at what Paul said. He said, somebody that is on chains, oh, look at what he said. He said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. Ah, somebody who is on chains. Glory to God. He said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews. Glory to God. And he went on speaking. Look at verses. In verse 12, he began to talk about his conversation with the Lord when he, on their way to Damascus. What happened? Look at verse 19. He said, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Did you get that? Somebody who is on chains. Hallelujah. Did you get that? He calls the ministry of the Lord to heavenly vision. Glory to God. He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Glory to God. But declare first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout the region of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do the works befitting repentance. They sent him to go kill. Then he encountered the Lord. Hallelujah. And he was not slothful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was not disobedient to the heavenly call. Glory to God. He was speaking freely. Parousia. Remember, we say parousia is the proof of God's fire in the believer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We read ahead. Look at verse 26. He kept on talking. Let me just read from verse 22. Somebody, let's go ahead. He said, for this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple, verse 21, and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witness, both to small and great, saying no other thing than those which the prophet and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and will proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Ah! On chains! On chains! He was on chains! Hallelujah! But he said, I'm not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Verse 24. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning has driven you mad. What did you think they saw? They saw this Z. Glory to God. They saw this Z. He was saying, I was not disobedient to the heavenly call. And Festus, one of the council, said, Paul, you are beside yourself. Too much learning is making you mad. They think it's madness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. It is called parousia. It's called the fire of God at work in the life of the believer. Glory to God. Did you get that? He said, too much learning has taken you mad. When everybody thinks you'll be quiet and begging, but you are still holding on to the gospel, that is the fire of God. That's the proof of God's fire. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 26. For the king, before whom I speak, also speak freely. Parousia. Did you see? Yes, hallelujah. I mean, look at verse 25. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since these things was not done in the corner. Verse 27, look at Agrippa's statement. Then King Agrippa, okay, let's go ahead. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophet? I know that you do believe. Look at what Agrippa now said.
This is somebody that was on chains. You need to understand what is happening. He was on chains. Did you get that? He was on chains. What do you think a normal person should be doing? Pleading. Most noble judge, please. Right? He was on chains.
That's why I said, this guy, this is... You know, Paul said the things of God, said the foolishness, said the wisdom of God is foolishness.
Hallelujah. Did you understand that? The things of the spirit does not make sense to the natural man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It doesn't make sense to the natural man.
It doesn't at all. Glory, hallelujah. Look at verse 8. Look at what Agrippa said. And Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian.
That is it. It's contagious. When Paul heard it, what did Paul say? Paul did not say, oh, I'm very sorry.
No, look at 29. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but all who hear me today might become both almost and to altogether such as I am, except for this change.
Did you see that? Did you see that? This is Parisia.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. You know, look at verse 31. And when they had gone aside, because when he said this, they stood up. And he said, this man has done nothing deserving of death or chains. He has done nothing.
Parisia. Zeal. Fervency.
Hallelujah.
The zeal of God can be noticed. Zeal can be noticed. Look at the way Agrippa, Festus noticed it. Zeal can be noticed. Did you see that? Zeal can be noticed. We will say you are too spiritual. This is not spiritual. This is my nature. Hallelujah. Say you are too spiritual. Anything you are, everything you are quoting scripture, that is my nature. Hallelujah. You don't be too spiritual. No. The other brother is living in the reality of who I am. This is who I am. Born zealous. Born zealous. Always on constant fire for the world. Always on constant fire to take the gospel. Always on constant fire. I'm on constant fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will not be short as it has the gospel. I'm on constant fire. That's what you say. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Constant fire. It takes away, it consumes you. We're going to see that also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, yeah, the Lord is a consuming fire. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, in the coming weeks, we're going to look at what the Bible teaches about those things. You know, we're going to be looking at eternal life, eternal damnation, and immortality. We're going to look at that in the coming weeks. Hallelujah. But you know, we're going to look at the fire of God holistically. The fire of God. The Lord is a consuming fire. People don't really understand. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. Look at, Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 28. He said, therefore, since we've received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let
us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
When he says our God is a consuming fire, he tells you the reality of the believer. Hallelujah. He said our God is a consuming fire. What does he consume? He consumes the flesh. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Look at what it now says in verse 11. Our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So the fire of God consumes us to walk in the spirit. Did you see that? That is it. Hallelujah. So the fire of God in the believer consumes the believer to walk in the spirit. Just like Paul.
With Agrippa and Festus that we just read. This zeal can be noticed. This fire can be seen.
In the preaching of the gospel, it can be seen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The fire of God's spirit produces zeal.
It produces zeal.
Zeal.
Zeal in preaching. Hallelujah. Zeal in knowing the scriptures. Zeal, it produces zeal.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This zeal is all consuming. It is all consuming. It is all consuming. Look at what we just read about Paul.
Agrippa, I mean, Festus said to him, he said, much learning and speaking in mind. Hallelujah. The way that naturally should be begging, right? He's under change. When Agrippa told him, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Paul didn't say, I'm sorry, sir. Just scream. No. He said, I wish.
Not only you. Glory to God. It is consuming. It is overwhelming. It takes your attention. It takes your focus.
The fire of God. It takes your attention. It takes your focus.
It's all consuming. All consuming. Hallelujah. This passion is a proof of God's presence in the believer. It's a proof of God's presence in your life.
Remember, we read from Titus 2:14. It is our character to be zealous.
We are born zealous.
It is our trait.
Hallelujah. It's our character trait. Hallelujah. So, this passion is a proof that God's presence is in your life.
It's a proof that you are walking in the truth. There's no quietness in zeal. It will be seen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What are the signs to know that you are losing zeal? What are the signs to know you are losing zeal?
When you begin to have divided attention.
Divided attention. You need to be conscious of those things that take away your attention.
You need to know those things that take away your attention. Because in ministry, in a believer's work, in ministry, God comes first. God comes first. Your priority should be God first. We'll look at that in service tomorrow morning. We'll look at that. God comes first.
God is placed first. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 16:24. So you have to know those things that take away your attention. Matthew 16:24. Look at verse 24. It says, and Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He said, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Hallelujah. So let him take up his cross and follow me.
Very important.
Christ comes for us. Look at chapter 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came to him, saying, good teacher, Rabboni, What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandment. And he said to him, which one? Jesus said to him, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But the young man was, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. That is to say, Jesus, look at verse 27. Peter now answered and said to him, see, we have left all to follow you, therefore what shall we have? So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on his throne, on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who left his house, or brother, or sister, and father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and last first. What Jesus is saying is, you know, you place, you set your priorities right. Christ first, hallelujah. Ministry first. Now that was the problem with the guy. The guy had so many riches. Hallelujah. Remember Jesus then said, after that, when the man left, Jesus said something in verse 23. He said, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. When he said that, he was referring to what a man would trust in his riches, just like the young guy. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, verse 26. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, when he says this, look at verse 33. He says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all, and all that he has, cannot be my disciple. What is Jesus talking about? When you say hate here, is the word that implies to love less. That is to say, to place father, mother, brother, sister, wife, uncle, everything, what even your own life, you place it less. Hallelujah. Place it less. And Christ more. That's what it means. Hallelujah. You place less. You place it less. Paul said, I am not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Hallelujah. So in ministry is God first. Is the work of ministry first. That is what takes. See, that is what takes. That is what matters. Hallelujah. That's what is all consuming. That is what matters. Ministry first. The work first. To place any other thing first is to be distracted. You understand? Is to be distracted. Hallelujah. Is to be losing, is to be lagging in zeal. But the church will say you are backsliding. When other things begin to come before ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you watch what takes your attention and stop it. You can do a zeal check today. You can do a zeal check. Can you check? Do a zeal check. Hallelujah. When last have you gone for evangelism? Personally, zeal check. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Zeal check. Signs to know you are losing zeal. Wrong association. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33. Wrong association. First Corinthians 15 verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Your association is very important in maintaining your zeal in the service to all. In your service to the Lord. Your association is key. So 75% of the time, your association will tell whether you turn out badly. Any association that does not make you love God more, know God more, pray more, is not an association you must keep. Because whosoever, whatever you keep around you gets to you. Do you understand? Whatever you keep around you gets to you. Any believer that after you interact with reduces your passion is not a friend. Anyone rather, after your interaction does not increase your passion for the Lord, is not a friend. Because this fire of God makes us focus. And anything that takes away this focusness is not of God. Anything that takes away this focusness is not of God. You have to be watchful of those who you even call friends that will not notice when your fire is down, when this zeal is lacking. You have to be watchful of them. Hallelujah. Because your friend is the one that when you are in communication with him, the passion is fired up. I want to win more souls. Hallelujah. I want to take more lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you keep your focus.
I'm winding up now.
You keep your focus. You keep your focus. Don't branch. Don't try to look outside. You keep your focus. In preaching, in praying, you keep the focus. The focus is what? Men saved. Hallelujah. Men saved. Men discipled. Men raised. Men full of the Spirit raised. You keep your focus. Your focus is on Christ and Him alone. You keep your focus. Your learning is on Christ and Him alone. You keep the focus. These are the ones that Paul will call faithful men. Who will be able to teach others also the same thing. So you keep the focus. The focus is on Christ. The teaching is on Christ. The learning is on Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You keep the focus. You keep the focus. Do not branch. Do not take away. Don't allow anyone to take away the focus. You must always understand that anything you do as a believer will always attract distractions and mockery. There will be persecutions. But you decide not to look at them. There will be persecutions. There will be men who want to say this and that concerning what you're doing. But you know you will not branch. Hallelujah. You keep the focus. Glory to God. You keep the focus. You keep doing the same thing over and over again. You keep praying, you keep preaching, you keep winning souls, you keep discipling them. Hallelujah. The work of ministry is a routine. You keep doing it over and over again. Hallelujah. You must understand. It's a routine. It's just like a man who knows that his job description is to do this and do that. So every day he comes to the office, this is my job description. I check this and I check that. It's my job description. In ministry is a routine. You pray. You fast, you keep your focus, hallelujah. You know what I mean? You pray, you fast, you win men, you disciple men, hallelujah. You pray, it's a routine. You keep preaching Christ. The message is Christ, don't branch, hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah, you keep your zeal. You keep the passion on fire, be on fire constantly, hallelujah. You keep the fire on, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Constant, you are on constant fire for the work, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Paul told the church in Corinth. He said, you are zealous for spiritual gifts. I mean, for spiritual things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The fire of God will keep you at it. Never make the fire go down. Keep the zeal. Keep the focus. Keep the zeal. Never make it go down. You are the one who keep the fire burning. You keep it burning. You keep the burning. You keep the zeal. You keep the focus. Don't let it go down. Don't let it go down. Hallelujah. You keep the focus. You know, Pastor Shepherd will say, life circumstances will not be constant, but you be constant. Life circumstances will come and go, but you be constant. You keep at it, you keep your fire. Keep it ablaze. Hallelujah. You keep it ablaze. Hallelujah. 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 You also watch what reduces this passion. What reduces this passion? What reduces this passion? Have to watch it. The moment you no longer study like before, watch it. Hallelujah. The moment you are not giving excuses why not to go for evangelism, watch it. Hallelujah. The moment you begin to come late to a meeting, watch it. Hallelujah. Do you understand? To watch it. Glory to God. The moment you no longer pray, you no longer stick to your prayer time you set, you watch it. What would you see this passion? Hallelujah. And you stay away from it. Glory to God. Majority of the time is because of the friends you get in contact with. Majority of the time because of the association you have. You know, your association in this day and this age has gone beyond who you even talk to. It also goes down to who you chat with. It also goes down to what you check regularly. It also goes down to what you watch regularly. You check it. You check it. Hallelujah. You check it. What reduces this passion? You check it. You check it. Who you're in constant communication with. It might be that TV. It might be that novel. You check it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You check it. Yeah, you are too spirit coco. Stay there. Let me be spirit coco because this is who I am. Hallelujah. I'm a man of the spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Where is your fire? Where is your loyalty? Where is your faithfulness? Where is your fire? Where is this fire? Where is your loyalty? Is your loyalty to the Lord? The loyalty of the believer is to the Lord. Where is your loyalty? Is your loyalty to your friends? Is your loyalty to other things? The loyalty of the believer is to the Lord. Where is your loyalty? Because we will give account of everything we've done in ministry. So where is your loyalty? Some people, their loyalty is to keep up with their members. Where is your loyalty? Where is your loyalty? The loyalty of Paul was, when he was with Agrippa, was not to Agrippa. No, to the Lord. Hallelujah. Where is your loyalty? Where is your faithfulness? Where is your faith? What are you faith? Where is your faithfulness? Where does it lie? Is it to the Lord? Remember, you cannot serve the Lord outside ZZ. You cannot serve the Lord outside ZZ. You cannot serve the Lord outside ZZ. Jesus, our Lord and Master was overwhelmed with this year. Our Lord and Master. So who else can we copy from? Hallelujah. That will do the work of he that sent me by day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So overwhelmed by this zeal, our Lord and Master. You know, this zeal will cause you to pray more. Because, you know, it will cause you to pray more. Your service to God is also in prayer. So it will cause you to pray more. Where are those prayer times?
Where are those personal times to pray? How are you keeping at it? Don't you have prayer times? If you don't, you should create one. Check it. Age does not reduce passion. No. No. This passion is who we are. Where are those times of personal fasting and vigils? Where are those days? You know, where are those days? Some people say we've passed that level. No. Those days, for some of us, we call it toilet ministries. Where are those days? This fire is all consuming. This fire is all consuming. It's all consuming. Hallelujah. 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 This fire is all consuming. It's all consuming. You know, we'll much more look at this. We'll much more look at it. We'll continue from here on Saturday. Fervency in service. Continue from here on Saturday. Fervency in service. It's all consuming. It's all consuming. Hallelujah. 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 You cannot serve the Lord outside this fervency. You cannot preach the gospel outside this fire. No. Hallelujah. You cannot. Look at Peter in chapter 2 of Acts. This same Peter that was in hiding. This same Peter. But after the experience, men were saying they were drunk. He said, no, these are not drunken as you suppose. But this is that. He was overwhelmed. Hallelujah. He was consumed with this fire. Hallelujah. 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 How do I keep at it? 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 How do I keep it? Acts of Apostles chapter 4. We just read. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Remember we said, parousia is a proof of God's fire. They spoke the word of God with boldness. You keep at it in praying. In praying more. You keep at it in attending meetings. Meetings, yes. Where you are stirred up for the word. You keep at it with the right associations, as you said. Hallelujah. 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 I'm zealous. I'm zealous. The zeal of God has overwhelmed me. The zeal of God has overwhelmed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet.